Welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl, a community and education platform that empowers parents and caretakers to foster independence, leadership, and strong personal identity in girls so they can change the world. Now, here is the founder and your host, Maria Fuller.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl. I'm the founder and your host, Maria Fuller. Before we get started, let's make sure you know where to find me. You can find more information about our education and community platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com, and you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Raising a Powerful Girl. Make sure to connect with us on social media to find out our latest news, learn tips and tricks, submit your questions, and continue our enlightening conversations. And now let's get on with today's show. Our guest today is Megan Grassel. When Megan was 17 years old, she took her little sister, Mary Margaret, shopping for her first bra. They scoured the mall to find a product that she was excited about, but ended up being completely appalled at all of the bra options that were not only available for her little sister, but also marketed to her and girls her age. Padding, push-up features, and underwire galore. Megan couldn't believe that these were the bras that girls were supposed to wear. She saw something wrong with the entire experience. In fact, it was a day that she could not stop thinking about. Why wasn't there just a cute, colorful, and comfortable bra for Mary Margaret to fit her and her body, not the body that she was supposed to have? The answer was that there simply wasn't one. That is when Megan realized that if no one else is going to make bras specifically for girls, then she was going to find a way to do it herself. Armed with her own hand-drawn pattern on her dad's yellow legal pad and the small savings she had earned from her summer job bussing tables, she moved forward with the idea. As a junior in high school in 2014, Megan founded Yellowberry to change the bra industry for girls. Today, Yellowberry offers bras, underwear, lounge, and athletic-inspired apparel exclusively for girls with an extra boost of confidence to encourage them to dream big and know that they have the support to do anything in the world. In 2014, Megan was selected as one of Time Magazine's 25 most influential teens and included on Huffington Post's list of 14 famous fearless teens. In 2015, Megan was named one of the 24 millennials to watch by Yahoo. In 2016, Megan was named one of Forbes magazine's 30 Under 30. She's been featured in countless media outlets, including The Today Show, The New York Times, Fast Company, Inc. Magazine, Forbes Magazine, 17 and Teen Vogue, among others. In addition to serving as an active company founder, Megan serves as a member of the first ever Barbie Global Advisory Board and has deferred her freshman year at Middlebury College to continue as CEO of Yellowberry. Well, welcome, Megan. It's so great to have you here today, and I'm really excited to introduce you to our listeners because you are the living embodiment of what it means to raise a powerful girl. So I would love for you to introduce yourself to our listeners and to tell them a little bit about you and your incredible company.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to connect and be here. So I'll kind of jump right in. So I'm Megan. I am now 22 years old, and I am the founder and CEO of Yellowberry, which is a company that I actually started when I was a junior in high school at 17. I started the company because I have a younger sister, and we went shopping to buy her very first bra. And we went to all these different stores. We really kind of scoured them all. And I felt like I kept seeing the same kind of super sexy padded push-up bra. Mm-hmm. It was a little weird. And it wasn't just available, but it's like specifically marketed to these young women and young girls. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird, but you know, whatever. And so my epiphany was when my sister Mary Margaret walks out of the dressing room in what was literally suggested as a very popular first bra option that was a leopard print push-up thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, you cannot wear that. And she was really embarrassed too. She was like, yeah, I don't really know. This is kind of funny. So we ended up coming home with some things that she was not excited about. She was sort of embarrassed about the experience. And I was like, you know, why has no one ever gone in and made age appropriate, fun color bras specifically for young girls? Because if not, then I'm going to find a way to do this myself. So that's sort of what led me to where I am today. But I basically was like, okay, to make a bra, you need fabric. I found a seamstress and we made the first couple of prototypes and I fit them on my sister to see what she liked and didn't like with some of her friends as well. And then I eventually found a really small factory that would make my first 400 bras for me. And I launched a website about a year and a half later when everything was like, I finally received the products and I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be amazing. I'm going to take over the world. And I sold like 3 bras the first 4 or 5 months. And I was like, oh my God, people don't understand. Like, I was so frustrated because to me, it was so much more than just a cotton bra, but it was like the idea that girls are so over-sexualized so young. So I could I not also build this community and this brand to really kind of support these years as girls grow up at their own pace rather than rushing through to become a teenager or a young woman so fast. So I had come up with all these branding elements, like the name, for example, Yellowberry. If you think about a berry before it's red or purple or ripe, it goes through different yellow stages, which was synonymous with sort of the yellow years of a girl's life. And so there are all these branding things that I think we'll talk about a little bit later that I was like, you know, these are so important. And so to make a long story short, I ended up launching a Kickstarter campaign to essentially tell my story, the reason behind the brand. It went sort of viral. And we grew very quickly and then had a lot of press and PR and we're like, okay, you know, people love bras. And so we began expanding into different categories and things like that. And this is now the beginning of our 5th year, which is kind of crazy.
That's amazing. And I think for me, what's so remarkable is that at, you know, a young age, you really saw the impact that society is having on young girls, on the hypersexualization in media down to, you know, the clothes that they buy. And, you know, my oldest daughter is 9. And so we're kind of starting to tread into that territory. And that's how actually I found your company, because I was searching for something. So when we're going to step into that phase where she needs her first, you know, bra, because either her shirts are rubbing against her or she's just starting to develop, I wanted something that, you know, a company that I loved and something that would be fun for her, because just shopping in Target and walking through, you know, the first starter things they have are these plain white little, they're just really boring. And I'm not a boring person and she's not a boring person. So I really wanted something that was fun and, you know, part of her age, and you captured that so well. And, you know, it's, I love how in your story, you know, your sister came out of the dressing room with this bra that's totally not appropriate. And she was embarrassed and she wasn't comfortable. And this is such an experience for them that's already can be so embarrassing and so uncomfortable, you know, as you start growing up and your body starts changing and all of these things start feeling weird and you start looking different. It's really uncomfortable. And so whatever we can do to make that process fun, or, you know, for them to be proud of their bodies.
Absolutely.
I think is really important. And I love that you're doing that with your product.
Thank you.
Something that I found really interesting. I was a photographer for 8 years. That was one of the longest careers I had before I founded this company. And a lot of the work that I did was with women and girls on body image and empowerment. And something that struck out to me right away when I looked at your website was the manner in which you photograph your products and the girls, and that you always photograph them from behind. Can you talk about that?
Yes, and I'm so glad you asked, because when you talk about, as I mentioned earlier, these like really big kind of branding elements of Yellowberry, that's a huge one for us. And it started very naturally, because when I was using my sister and her friends to size the first couple samples and prototypes, when I had a final one, I was like, okay, we got to take the photographs and put them on the website. And I'm thinking to myself, this just feels wrong to photograph a young girl in a bra to put it on the internet. Like, there are weird people out there, but also, like, if I were a girl, I probably wouldn't be comfortable with that. You know what I mean? And so I was working with this photographer and I said, you know, why don't we turn them around and do it from the back? And she was like, Megan, that's literally the opposite of what you're supposed to do. And I was like, well, from a branding perspective, though, it's kind of like we're standing behind them and supporting them as they go out and take on the world. And so it was a very thoughtful decision in the beginning, and it's become so integral to who we are as a brand. And as a side note, you know, when we launched it initially on the website, and then we've sort of had some campaigns to highlight it over the years. And, you know, moms will go to the website and immediately they see it and they understand why I did that. But to me, it's been really fascinating and quite rewarding actually to see, like, to watch the girls flip through either on the Instagram or the website, because especially if it's their first bra or they're even just looking for like their first kind of undershirt layer, it's so much less kind of in your face, for lack of a better term. And it's not, you know, it's not about being sexy. It's not about how the bra looks to somebody else. It's really about how it feels and how it fits and how it makes you feel really comfortable and confident. So I think that that's a huge part. Like, I'm very involved with all of the photo shoots and all of the photography, because I feel like that sort of like happy dynamic feeling is so important to the photograph. So I'm glad that you noticed that as well.
Yeah. And at the same time, you're helping to break down that stereotype of women's undergarments that they need for support and just for comfort, mm-hmm. being turned into something that's immediately sexualized photographing it from behind, and by showing her strength. Really, when we look at a woman from behind, what we're seeing is her back. And when you think of someone's backbone, you think of someone, you know, that's the strength, the core of them. And photograph them in that way, you know, is really, really powerful. And it shows girls that they don't have to be, you know, that the bra is not about sexiness. It's not about cleavage. It's not about having that figure. It's about being comfortable, you know, being able to run, jump, do everything that it is you want to do and feel comfortable and supported, which is really important, because, you know, every woman knows that a bad bra can really make or break.
It can ruin a day pretty quickly. Yeah.
You know, and when you're young and you're just starting to wear a bra and you're just starting to develop and you're wanting to keep up with your gymnastics or your soccer or your horseback riding, you know, to be in something that is uncomfortable, it then takes away from the beauty of becoming a young woman. And because that's what we want them to do, is celebrate that process, and not be dreading, you know, the things that are different, you know, from say males.
For sure.
That's really amazing. I love that you do that. So how do you go from being a teenager in high school to having this amazing idea and like really moving forward with it? How did you bring this up with your parents or your caretakers, and what was their response?
Yeah. So, I'm fortunate to have parents that, like, my siblings and I have all been raised to be very, very independent. And I think, so I am also from Wyoming. So we had so much freedom growing up, but with freedom comes a lot of responsibility. And so I think a lot of that, like, I was just lucky to have sort of instilled at a young age, which I've only sort of thought about since, like, reflecting upon that. But I also grew up a really competitive ski racer. And so I was competing at a national level, with FIS is sort of the league, if you will, that you're in. And my goal was, you know, I wanted to make the US ski team, go to the Olympics, race in the World Cup. And a lot of my former teammates are, that's what they're doing now, which is very cool. But my point was that I'm a super competitive person and very much like, almost like a dog with a bone. When I start something, I just can't stop. Mm-hmm. And so when I had this experience shopping with my sister, part of the story that I often leave out is that we came home and I kept thinking about it for a couple of days, but it didn't really hit me. And that I was like, I'm going to start a company, until I think it was the next week. And this is so ironic. That's not even the right word. It's whatever. My dad won this bra as like a gag gift in this adult ski racing league in Jackson Hole, which is where I and obviously he was never going to wear it. He gave it to me. And I remember holding it in my hands, and it was the first bra I'd ever seen that didn't have any padding, but it wasn't a sports bra. And I was like, that was when I was like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what Mary Margaret needs. And this one was very high end, you know, it was hand sewn. It was very expensive, but I thought, I have to figure out how to make a bra that doesn't have any padding, because that's and so that was when the idea, I couldn't stop thinking about it. And my mom had given me that bra in a bag on the way to ski practice. And I literally told her that day, I was like, Mom, I'm going to start this company. I want to change the way that girls buy. Like, I want to change the bra industry for girls. Whether or not that's the exact phrase in my head, that's how I remember it now. But, and she, her response to me was like, okay, Megan, you know, like, don't be late for practice. So get on the and go. But I came home and I was like, oh my God. And so I just was like writing all over in like my notebook and just sort of brainstorming. And initially my parents were super, I mean, they've always been so, so supportive, but I think their initial reaction was like, wow, this could be such a great hook on your college application. You know, you could get it. Cause I grew up, my dream school is to go to Dartmouth. And I was like, you know, it's really competitive. It's an Ivy League school. And so my mom was like, oh, this will be awesome. So she was really supportive and like really helping to kind of like, if I ever had questions or like if I needed to push along or something. But my goal was like, I just always thought that it was going to be much bigger than that. And so I spent the next real, I mean, this was the midway through my junior year. I didn't leave my bedroom for the next year. And I was not super social in high school anyways, but I mean, that's when I came up with like the name and the photography kind of like during that time period. There was also, you know, the first time I ordered I was like, okay, if I'm going to sell these online, they have to be really properly tagged and branded. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know what to write on a tag. Like, what are these words going to say? Yellowberry and what else? And so that actually another big branding element was, I have a younger sister that I lost at a very young age. And when she died, her godparents wrote this list of 10 things that were kind of, you know, in memory of her, but sort of captured her essence as a young, youthful, spirited girl. Yeah. And so I pulled 6 or 7 of them because I was like, you know, these are really more than just Caroline, but it's kind of what it means to be a young, happy girl. And so it's things like go barefoot, campfires are rare, eat as many marshmallows as you can, love the outdoors and nature, seek and find a hug when you need one. And so initially they were just on the tags, but then now they're actually sewn into most of the garments themselves. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like an extra boost for the girls. And so I was very methodical and sort of like building that brain and things. And so by the time it launched, I think my parents thought that I was just a little bit crazy and kind of a hermit, especially for the first, like I said, the first several months, and I sold 3 bras, and one of them was to my dad because he was just trying to be nice.
Yeah.
So I think it took them a while. Like once it had sort of, I had got this initial boost from the Kickstarter and then all this press and PR, they were like, well, you know, she really think has something here, but I'm not sure they saw what I did right away.
Yeah.
For better or for worse.
I think it's really hard, you know, myself as an entrepreneur, seeing your process and what you have done and the way that you have done it is so typical of a true entrepreneur, that unless you're in that mindset and you know that, to the regular world, they're kind of like, what is she doing? What's going on? They don't.
Right.
And especially because your brand is really about, if you're not a product, you're a company that has a mission to change something, you know, to empower, to help people grow, to change stigmas. And you're doing that with a product that's so much larger than just selling a bra. And that's really, really amazing.
Thank you.
I'm a young entrepreneur. I thought I was a young entrepreneur. To hear what comes, you know, out of your heart when you speak is you are wise beyond your years. And to think of these elements in terms of branding, when we talk about branding a company and thinking about, you know, your core values. And I saw that on your website that you had those 6 little elements.
Yeah.
And I love that you tied it to the story, to the why, to the story of your sister, Carolyn. That's how you create a really impactful brand. And I think that's, you know, what you're doing with Yellowberry, which is really amazing. So was this all innate, or were you scouring on the internet and trying to research all of these things? Were there certain areas that you found inspiration to put this all together?
Yeah. You know what? I am hesitant to say, just because I don't ever want to come off as pretentious, but one thing that I can say with confidence is that I think branding is a very good skill of mine. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of those things, it just, for lack of a better phrase, it just sort of made sense that the name, the photography, like those things all really spiraled. But I remember also going to the library and sitting down on a Saturday in August and being, you know, checking out a book called How to Write a Business Plan, because I had no idea. And so I think that was really hard. And I think those are also, you know, we always want to share the really exciting times as an entrepreneur and like in life in general, the successes, like that's what you put on your Instagram and share on Facebook and talk about with your friends. But I think the really low points, especially when you're starting something from scratch, is like, I feel like, I don't know if it's the majority of time, but it's definitely a large portion of the time is like, you don't really know what to do next or how to really move forward. And so I think when things like that would happen, you know, I'm very curious. And so I read a lot about like other companies, whether they're VC funded or smaller startups, and sort of like the path of the entrepreneur, and then almost like stalker, like, you know, what's the background of the entrepreneur? What have they learned? Where have they come from? So I'm very interested in people and sort of people's stories. And I think from that, it's cool to, I guess, draw inspiration from that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. You hit the nail on the head with that. And I think, you know, what you say, and I think for many entrepreneurs, the more they can get to a point where they're kind of going by their intuition or their gut or their instinct, when you say like, you don't want to sound condescending, that like you kind of just knew, that's, I think to me, I see that as you pulling from your intuition, you know, your purpose, because we're all here for a larger purpose in the world. And when you can get really close to that, then kind of just start to unfold in a way that you can't always pinpoint and say, well, I did that because of that. It's because I felt it or it felt right.
Totally.
I love that you talk about how, you know, it was challenging that, you know, the first time you launched, you spent this year as a hermit and then you sold three bras and one was to your dad. And for so many entrepreneurs or even girls out there that are trying something so hard, it's such a great story to talk about what it's really like. Sometimes we put our heart and our soul into a project and we work so hard and then we go to launch it and it doesn't go the way we expect. And you could have chosen at that point to say, well, I'm going to give up. And you didn't. And that's when the magic happens and you come to what I call a pivot point. In your company and you're like, well, let me try something else. And you went for the Kickstarter. And that's not easy to do. And a Kickstarter can be amazing or can totally flop.
Totally.
As well. And, you know, I'm sure when you hit that massive success all of a sudden and got all of that media attention, it can also cause a lot of chaos in terms of, well, this is awesome, but oh my goodness, a lot of orders start coming
in.
Start getting a lot of emails and you're like, hold up, we need to have systems and people and what is going on. And
The dining room table gets real busy real fast.
And everyone in your family becomes an assembly line worker, I'm sure.
No, well, it's not even a joke. So my mom became my partner in Yellowberry when that happened because I was like, I have calculus homework and a Spanish test and 5,000 orders. Can you help me? Because I don't know what to do. And we remain partners to this day and it's phenomenal. So you really hit the nail on the head with that one.
That's awesome. But I love how your parents jumped in and I love that you partnered with your mom. Because that's not an easy thing to do, especially when you're a young girl. Mm-hmm. So you're starting to, you have this like balance you have in your home where you're like, hello, I'm the CEO of a company, but I still have a curfew, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And you're still in school and doing homework, but like you're kind of like your mom's boss almost in a sense, but that you can have that relationship with your mom and and talk business and still be a daughter and go that way is really a powerful testament to the great relationship that you both must have. What is it like working with her?
It was, to be totally frank, and I tell her this, like we joke about this, I was like, you know, it was never my dream to work with my mom every day. I don't mean that in a bad way, but it was just like, you want to like, you know, graduate from high school, go to college and like go out in the world. And I was like, well, I still see you for like the better part of every week. But I think, you know, I've been really fortunate that I've connected with a lot of other young founders through Yellowberry, through other organizations or scholarships or, you know, whatever it may be. And as inspiring and smart and amazing as a lot of people are at a young age, we often at 22 just don't have life experiences of things that people who are just older and have been alive longer know. And so I think a lot of that just sort of like life savviness, my mom has brought in spades. And I think, you know, we talk a lot that we have very complementary skill sets. So like she is super organized and detail oriented and like really run, I mean, she's the COO. So she really runs the operational side of things, but really I think sometimes like the big picture thing, like that's not her forte, but she is a doer and she can make anything happen. And I think sometimes I feel like I'm the opposite of like, okay, where are we going? You know, what is the storyline? What is our, you know, what are sort of the marketing efforts and like the brand and the vision and where are we going? And so I think in that way it's, we joke again that like we were lucky to be such great partners and not that it's perfect, you know, it's family and it's no partnership is ever perfect. But I think, I was so young when I started Yellowberry that I didn't know anyone well enough or like trust them enough with something I care this much about to really partner up on something that is, you know, so much a part of me and my heart and my soul. And so, it's something that I try not to ever take for granted. That's for sure.
Yeah. That's really amazing. Really amazing. So currently are you in school? What is your everyday life look like being, you know, 22 and, you know, the founder of this incredible company?
So I did not get into Dartmouth. That was a, you know, heartbreaker. However, I was supposed to go to Middlebury College. I was so excited and I was admitted as a FEB, which is there, like you basically start 6 months later. Mm-hmm. And in my naive 18-year-old eyes, I was like, oh, this is perfect. I can kind of get things off the ground, bring in someone to run it. And like, I'll go off to college and it'll be just all perfect. obviously that's not what happened. I kind of kept deferring to the point where the school was like, all right, Megan, you either need to come or we're going to forfeit your spot. And I was very sort of upset with that at the time. But basically what ended up happening is I was like, you know, Yellowberry is still growing. We like would launch into Nordstrom or hire a couple more employees or raise money. And I was like, you know, this is really what I want to do. And I, you know, strike while the iron's hot. I don't want to leave and come back and have given the reins to somebody and it not be doing well or whatever. So I have not yet started in college. I'm not sure what my path in terms of education will look like, or I should say formal education will look like. But I absolutely have learned so much from just, you know, being an entrepreneur, starting this company, and, you know, a lot of sort of like life lesson type of things that I'm not sure I would have been able to learn in a classroom.
So. I love your answer. And I love your authenticity and your transparency with that, because you didn't have to be truthful, because some people would think it's an embarrassment to not go to college, but you know, there's a lot to be said for formal education, and there's a lot to be said for real life experience. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people out there that go to school for business and they go and they get their MBA, mm-hmm. but they've never worked in a company. They've never started a startup. They do not understand the grit that is required, the mental mindset that is required, the heart, you know, to be able to go through heartache and the challenges. These are things that, skills that cannot be taught in a classroom.
Right.
And whether or not you choose at some point in your life to go after formal education, it should be because you feel that that's something that you need to expand on in some aspect of your life. Right. And I think today that there's this huge emphasis, especially in the United States, with children and grades and school and academics, and that being the end all game, where the reality is that that doesn't mean that you are not going to be successful if you don't go to college, or if you decide to go to a vocational school, or if something happens when you're younger in high school and you only get, you know, you don't graduate from high school, but you go back for your GED when you're 20 or 30 years of age.
Right.
You know, you can still have an incredible life. You can still, you know, become very successful with however you, you know, define success. And so I think you're pretty amazing and an inspiration.
Well, thank you.
And I think that you probably have a lot more, you know, business education and sense than a lot of people that have just gone, you know, and gotten their undergrad in business, because you've got the real deal experience, and that's not something that can be taught in a classroom. Dartmouth's loss, I'll say.
Well, I feel like I shouldn't have called them out by name, but no, it's a great school. I mean, it's funny though, we have over the years, you know, I think when you, it's sort of to your point of like, there are a lot of people that I think have the correct things on their resume in terms of education, but really, like, especially at a startup, what you're looking for is someone who can sort of be a Swiss Army knife and be able to, you know, work on projections and numbers and things, and then all of a sudden at 3 p.m. the truck shows up with bras and you have to drop everything and like unload it. And then, you know, just, I think things change so fast, and the reality of business, you know, it's one thing to sort of talk about it on paper, but then to your point of really doing things, it's just a lot of work. It's a lot of really hard, diligent work, and day after day, especially sometimes when you don't want to be doing it, you know, it's just showing up and getting through it.
If there were one or two things that you would say that you would tell a parent who's raising an awesome girl, what would it be?
Well, that's actually a really hard question. there's a phrase that, I said a little while ago that I really have sort of glamored onto, and you may have seen it in my email signature, and it says, speak to girls with the authority that they deserve.
I love that.
And I was talking to somebody, and it kind of just came out one time, and I was like, whoa, I don't know where that came from. But I think that one of the things that my parents did that they continue to do is that they never treated me like a baby or like a child. I think they always spoke to me as if I were an adult, or maybe not an adult, but just that I was older. You know, they pushed me. And I think that they also have been my biggest cheerleaders, because they supported me and like believed in me. So, I mean, that's a big one. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that answers your question.
It is. I love it. And I know what you mean, because it's something that's one of my core beliefs, you know, with girls, is that I speak to my girls just like I would speak to any other human being.
Yeah.
Whether they do something wrong, it's never, I'm not one to punish. I'm always one to educate them and guide them and help them and talk to them. Like, you know, is that the choice that you wanted to make? What do you think about that choice? You know, how did you make that person feel? And it's not about making them seem smaller or less than because they're younger, but that they're an equal human being like I am, no matter their age.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. The girls really need to be spoken to with the authority that they deserve, because they all deserve it at no matter, you know, the age that they are. So that's really
absolutely. Well, yeah. And I think, I don't know, I think you asked for two. I think the other one is, as I'm trying to think quickly, like, I don't think even today at 22, I, you know, obviously I don't live at home anymore. I live on my own. And, that has never stopped my parents from like always pushing me. And I think that, like, you know, for Yellowberry as an example, we've been fortunate to have a lot of press and recognition and sort of some awards along the way. And I think it's definitely come up, and my parents are obviously so, so, so proud, but it's kind of like, this is awesome. What's next? Like, what are you going to do to like keep pushing, keep moving forward? And, you know, I think contentment is not a word I would use to describe my family or my parents, which is really good. And so I think it's just, you know, that like pursuing of excellence, knowing that you might not get there, but you can always keep trying has been a sort of, I think, is important.
I do too. Thank you so much for your time, Megan. You're really amazing. I encourage all of our listeners to check out yellowberry.com and see the, you know, amazing product that you're selling, but more so the mission behind your work and empowering girls today.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
You are a leader and a role model to developing girls. Whether you're raising a daughter or you work with girls on a daily basis, you see the incredible potential they have to make a difference in this world. You know the change we need is going to come from them, and you want to make sure they grow up to be independent leaders with a strong sense of personal identity, because these are the traits that make a powerful girl. So come join our community and education platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com and become a part of our movement to educate, inspire, and cultivate a generation of powerful girls with eye-opening discussions and facts, exercises, and tangible calls to action. We can't wait to see you there.
For more information on Megan and Yellowberry, you can find them at yellowberry.com. To continue the enlightening conversation, please join our community at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. We look forward to seeing you there.